From the Far East, from a karaoke joint in Tokyo, this is the Wayward Podcast.
Okay, so we're not going to have anything. Anyway,
what?
So this is the Wayward Podcast. I am the man with a reason, Toshi, and this is...
And I'm the woman without a reason, Sarah.
You almost forgot to say your name there, didn't you?
I forgot my name for a second.
I'm the woman without a reason.
I'm Toshi, too.
Okay. And this is the podcast on oneofus.net where we talk about Japan and Supernatural for some reason.
There are many reasons to talk about both of those things.
That works.
So I don't think we need to justify ourselves.
Okay. So this is our fourth episode. It is the second episode we're online, but it's our fourth episode. So What has been happening with you since our last time we talked?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Toshi.
Well, I'm glad I did too. What has been going on with you?
It was a big holiday weekend in Japan. Well, weekends, kind of.
It's a connection. It's a bunch of holidays just sort of joined together. For consecutive holidays. It's called Golden Week in Japan. It's basically, it's the, what I just said, a conjunction of a bunch of holidays just all grouped together. And a lot of people tend to take sick days and get basically an entire week off, things like that. And it's a time where people just go and travel. It gets very busy, and it's very good for business.
Yep. A lot of sales.
Yep. And a lot of events also happen during that weekend.
So 2 weekends ago, on the 27th, we had the Tokyo Rainbow Pride Festival.
Oh, you mentioned
parade.
That last time, yes. How was that?
It was awesome.
Ooh.
Awesome. This is my third year in it. My first year as a volunteer, which was really cool. And every year it seems to be like the most beautiful day of the year. It was like 24 centigrade, which is like 73 Fahrenheit, sunny, and like 10,000 or 12,000 people showed up. 3,000 people participated in the parade, and there were tons of drag queens and fun, and it was awesome.
Any interesting episodes happen? Anything?
The First Lady of Japan showed up.
Oh,
Akie Abe.
Okay.
And she wore her like signature pastel, faded like ivory colored pantsuit that all Asian first ladies seem to own. And she ran on the, I think it was on the at the front of the parade with a bunch of drag queens. And that's pretty surprising because Japan is, Japan's kind of conservative.
Very conservative.
Yeah.
When it comes to, LGBT.
Yeah.
Japan, it's still illegal for homosexual people to get married.
Yeah, and I don't think they can adopt.
And I don't think
either.
So. Yeah, there's a large constituency in the government which still consider relationships between same-sex people to be improper, to be wrong. Which is kind of interesting because Japan is not really a Christian country. I mean, we have adopted the Christian religion somewhat, but it's still a mix. It's more. It's kind of like a smorgasbord of religions just mashed together and people taking what they want. But
I don't think it's like a religious thing necessarily. It's
as opposed to in America where it seems to be very much a religious thing,
right? Yeah, like it to me, it seems like one of the reasons why a lot of people are against it. And I mean a lot of people. Like, there was a poll done recently that said about 80% of people asked were against same-sex marriage. And I think one of the main reasons for that is that a man and a man and a woman can't biologically have their own children. They can't make more Japanese babies. So
that kind of makes sense, because Japan is going through that problem where the population is getting older and they're not that enough young children. That's actually, it started to come up in pop culture too, the fact that there aren't that many children. Like, a lot of, I think, like, I've run into, over the past year, I've run into, like, three different anime series where the topic is the fact that the schools are closing because there aren't enough children.
Oh, really? Are these, like, dystopian future?
No, they're present-day animes.
Wow.
That take place, they take place present-day.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue at hand is the fact that the school is going to get closed, so they need, you know, they need more students, or like this class is the last class. You know, once we graduate, there's no more. And
woo, no more school. Woo, burn the school.
Yeah, which is a very real issue now. So it's kind of interesting to see it come to the forefront, and it's kind of scary at the same time because it's in pop culture now.
Mm-hmm.
So. But, yeah, so I can kind of see how the fact that, like, you know, they can't have children might be an issue.
I mean, that's one of many.
I can see that as an issue, like, as a reason people say, like, it's not, you know, it's not right, it's not proper.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it as a reason for open hostility. Which Japan doesn't seem to have that much.
No, not really.
I haven't really heard, I don't know, like.
There was a billboard in a district in Tokyo called Nichome, which is like the gay district, basically. There was a AIDS awareness poster or billboard, and it was with kind of manga style men, and they were lying down, like kind of lined up, and they're just relaxing or something like that.
Yeah.
And one of them was shirtless, and he had his jeans unbuttoned and open just a little bit, and there was a little bit of underwear showing. And the official reason why it was taken down was because the underwear was showing. Now, if anyone knows anything about Japanese manga or anime or how they advertise
panty
shots everywhere.
Service,
women's panty shots. And never men. And if that's not a double standard, I don't know what is.
Well, girls' manga has started to really get popular.
Yeah.
And the usual thing is, it's never pants, though. It's never underwear. It's always the bare chest of men. But anyways, so anything else going on with you? We saw the Lego movie.
Oh, we did.
Oh,
yeah.
Which was kind of interesting, because last time I talked about, like, my experience with Legos and like the sort of
that was so weird.
And then we went to the movie and, like, you know, you were looking at me. It's just like, this is kind of like what you were talking about.
I just pointed and I said, "Demon!"
which I find, like, I mean, honestly, like, the Lego movie is probably like my second or third favorite movie ever at this point.
That's awesome. Oh, you know what? Everything is awesome.
Because I found it like even more genius, the fact that, like, it was very similar to the sort of Lego world that I described.
Yeah.
And the fact that the people who made this movie, they're adults.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, like, the thing that I had created, the world that I had created with my brother was something we created as kids.
Yeah.
So I found it fascinating that, like, the creators of the movie were able to think like a child.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, a lot of the stuff, like, kind of, not too much of a spoiler, but, like, they play with words. Like, actually, like, there's the X-Acto knife is the knife of exact zero.
Yeah.
It's like, things like that they're playing.
The Polish of Nail.
Those are things that, like, a kid would think of.
Yeah, right.
And you don't think an adult would be able to think of that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it just makes them seem that all that much more genius, the fact that they were able to do all that. I question, like, if they actually, like, went to kids, like, had them think up stuff, or, like, they had a sweatshop full of kids thinking up stuff.
Imagine!
Making up Lego stuff for the movie.
But I'm sure the writers drew on their own experiences.
Which was...
Yeah, because, awesome. Like, I think every kid kind of plays like that. Even if you're not playing with Legos, if you're playing with something else.
Yeah, when you don't have toys, you make do.
Yeah, right.
That sort of use an imagination. And I just that just like it. Oh, it sounds so creepy when I say it like this, but it touched me in a place, like in a personal place. That sounds so creepy. Okay.
You have to let me touch it.
But yeah, it's just like I love that movie so much. I can't wait for it to come out like on Blu-ray.
Oh yeah,
and I want to see the extras so much.
Like, I've never consistently laughed that much in a movie.
And we were cackling.
Yeah,
and that is this is the difference between Japan and the rest of the world, I guess. Well, in the West, you know, movies are kind of it depends on the movie, obviously, but they tend to be like audience participation.
Yep.
Like, there's a lot of howling and hooting, cheering. Mm-hmm. You know, when a really cool character gets on the stage, you know, sometimes they'll applause.
Yeah.
You know, will break out, things like that. But in Japan, that rarely ever happens.
Oh yeah.
It can happen in comedies where like people laugh, but it's never roaring laughter.
Right. And it was kind of weird because it was you, me, and then like a couple other people, and we're sitting in one row, and then there was like one other woman who was a couple rows ahead of us, like off to the side, laughing too.
Yeah.
But everyone else was dead silent.
Yeah.
And that makes it so awkward because you're like, okay, I want everybody else to enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
And
yet, at the same time, you're enjoying it, you're laughing, but you feel like you're getting in the way of their enjoyment at the same time.
Stop having fun! Shh.
Yeah, it's sort of the atmosphere is important. Like, if everybody is cheering and laughing, it's not a problem, but if it's just you, you kind of feel like a heel.
Yeah, like, I saw Borat in a movie theater full of college students, so you know what everyone was, screaming laughing the whole time. And then I went and rewatched it like a couple years later on my own, and I was like, not as funny as I remember.
Yeah.
It all depends on who you're watching the movie with.
The atmosphere is really, I mean, I've only ever seen Borat on DVD in my house, and I chuckled, but it was never really like, I didn't really understand the whole, like the whole, you know, everyone was raving about it, and I didn't understand that, and it makes more sense now.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was very quotable at the time.
Yeah.
Like, nice, I like
sexy
all that
kind of stuff.
Which kind of makes it more interesting than it actually is, but yeah, it was one of those movies that it doesn't have a lot of rewatch value. Now, Lego Movie, I'm pretty sure will have a ton of rewatch value.
There's something also interesting during the movie. I don't know if you noticed that I laughed at it, but there's the one scene. It's in the trailer, so I don't know if it's a spoiler or not. But if you haven't seen any of the trailers, then spoiler warning. I'm going to spoil a very small scene. But there's a scene where they go into Emmett's mind.
Yeah.
And he shows them the double-decker couch.
Yeah.
And what was it? Wild Style says, you know, that is the worst idea ever.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and Morgan Freeman's what's his name again?
I don't remember.
Okay, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, basically like, Morgan Freeman.
You know, allow me.
Yeah.
That idea is just the worst.
Yeah.
And the Japanese subtitle I found was actually funnier.
Oh really? Then, what was it?
He basically says, you know, what the fuck is wrong with you? it's basically a moment where, you know, the black guy's like, bitch, what the fuck's wrong with you? It's kind of like that. It's like, you know, she's like, that's the worst idea ever. It says that in Japanese subtitles, and then, you know, Morgan Freeman's character says in the subtitles, you know, hold on, allow me. And it's just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I just cracked up laughing at that. I just found the subtitle actually to be funnier than the actual.
And that's rare.
Yeah, it is very rare. That's very rare. The only time it felt like kind of like an epiphany, because every now and then you'll see. If you, do you pay attention to subtitles much at all?
Yeah, I do. Like, it's really distracting.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But every now and then they'll have a time when like the subtitle is actually perfect. It's like it's on. It's not a direct translation of what's been said.
Yeah.
But it's a perfect translation.
Oh yeah.
And whenever I see one of those, I love it. Just plays over again and again in my head. Mm-hmm. Like, there was one in The Expendables, of all movies, in The Expendables, where, what was it, Sylvester Stallone is, you know, the guy, some guy brings him a job, and he says, you know, all right, let's talk. And the Japanese translation of that was saying, I'm listening. And it's just like, and it felt perfect. It, was, it wasn't an exact translation, but it was saying exactly what he had said.
Yeah.
And it was just, it felt, it's just like in a moment of epiphany, I was just like, oh, that's awesome, that's perfect. So, I mean, subtitles, yeah, they get in the way a lot for us.
Right.
But, yeah, every now and then they're pretty cool. And I felt that way for the one in the Lego movie, that, that one scene.
So. Did I mention this last time about, like, in Inception, the line when Leonardo DiCaprio's character is letting his wife, like, die?
No.
Oh, okay. This subtitle was so wrong. So, spoilers.
So this is the opposite.
Yes, spoilers for Inception, but the movie's been out for a while, so if you haven't seen it yet, you're probably never going to see it.
Or you should.
You should. Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio's letting, what's her name? Marion, whatever.
Cartier or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. He's telling her to, that he has to move on. And in English, he says, I have to let you go. And the subtitle in Japanese said, Mojibunda. It has been sufficient.
It's enough.
Yeah. And it's like, that's not what he means. Like, he's, you know, letting her go.
Yeah.
That he has been holding on to the memory of her for all these years. And now it's time to say goodbye. And the Japanese subtitle was like,
it's enough.
That's enough.
Yeah.
We're finished.
One of Japan's most famous subtitle artists, I guess you could call her. Her name is Natsuko Toda. I don't know.
I'm just like imagining someone like painting on Japanese calligraphy on each
frame. Yeah. No, her name's Natsuko Toda, and she's been around for decades.
Yeah.
I think she's like close friends with Tom Cruise, apparently, and like so she does every
lucky girl.
Yeah, and like every single one of Tom Cruise's movies, she always does the subtitles for those. The thing is that like she's gotten old and kind of full of herself, so some of her subtitles have gotten it's a thing now. Like some of her subtitles are kind of fucked up, or you know, just like really off the mark. There was one time she translated chest, like you know. The part of your body, your chest, as a box, like as a treasure chest, or like, or it might have been the other way around, like the opening a chest and like as your like opening a box as opening your chest.
Okay.
It's just like it was, and like she had obviously not watched the movie and just done it based off the script.
Wow.
And like there was one time with the Lord of the Rings,
mm-hmm.
she actually went as far as to translate Strider. Viggo Mortensen's character. She translated Strider, like she translated Strider.
Strider, makes strides.
All she would have to say is like write his name in Japanese.
Yeah.
Strider.
Yeah.
But she went as far as like to translate the whole thing.
And, what like, the fuck?
And it's like people were very she was not involved with the other two movies. She like this was with the Fellowship. She was not involved with the other two.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. So people were very unhappy with her work on that.
I wonder what it is in the novel, in the Japanese translation.
I have never...
Strider. Because I mean, I'm not very good at Japanese, but I read the two of the Harry Potter books in Japanese, because they have the simplified characters next to the complex characters, so I could read it.
Do they have Hagrid talking in that...
It's like a really gruff... Japanese, I can kind of hear it in his voice.
In, Kansai dialect or something?
I don't know exactly what it is, but I know it's supposed to be something that's kind of, like, uneducated, like, not... I can't think of any specific examples. No. Just, like, not pretty Japanese.
Okay.
Unlike McGonagall or Hermione or something. But, like, some of the... Like, the spells and stuff, because they don't make sense
if you just use... kind of, like, in Latin or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, Lumos or something, that's the only one I can think of. It has, like, Hikari something something.
Hikari are or something.
Yeah,
okay.
Which, in Hikari means light.
Yeah.
So, they did that, but for... And then for the names of some things, because you don't get it unless you understand, like, the joke in English,
yeah.
they put next to the direct pronunciation from English, they put next to it what it would be approximately in Japanese. But they'd only do it, like, once in mm-hmm. the book, which I kind of like. Like, the translations of the Harry Potter books, to me, as someone who read them in English, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, 15 years ago or something, they're pretty good, and they get the tone pretty good.
I think, so. if I remember correctly, the person who translated the books, mm-hmm. like, basically jumped on the, like, I want to translate them. And
yeah, apparently I read her, like, she wrote a foreword or an afterword, I don't yeah. remember, that was like, I read these in English, and I was automatically, yeah. from, like, the first word, a huge fan.
Yeah, it's just like, give me these books. And yeah. yeah, she obviously made a lot of money out of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
it shows that yeah. she took a lot of time to do that, which...
Translating is hard.
Yeah. And translating tone is one of the hardest things, because English has such a different tone from Japanese. Tone, for those of you who are not, like, writers or anything, isn't necessarily, like, the vocal tone, no. but it's kind of, like, how the characters speak. So, like, Hagrid, we yeah. know he's kind of a gruff but jolly individual just by the language that he uses.
Yeah.
And we know that Professor McGonagall is kind of a prim, little, like,
got a stick stuffy. Up her butt.
Yeah. yeah. Someone's singing Let It Go next door.
Oh, dear God. Okay.
Anyway, I just, like, heard, and then, yeah. Anyway.
You want to sing that later? No. Anyway.
No, I don't think I could sing that. But yeah, so, like, that's tone, and I think that can be really hard to translate into another language.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because different languages have different tones. So.
Anyways, yes. Language, so that was our talk about the Lego movie.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies, you've seen Captain America, right?
I went to see Captain America by myself and talk about, like, laughing in a movie theater. So, I mean, it's not a comedy, but there are jokes in it.
Oh, yes. It's an Avengers movie, so yeah.
I was definitely the only one laughing.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, ah, ha, 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 ha. Bucky, ha, Barnes, ha, ha, I guess. Yeah. And, because I'm quite a Tumblr addict, and Tumblr loves Bucky. As soon as he came on, I was like, Bucky! And I think people were kind of like...
Spoilers! Winter Soldier is Bucky!
People don't know that.
Well, some people probably don't, but...
All I have to say is, who the hell is Bucky? Mm. anyway, but yeah, that was... a fun movie,
oh, yeah.
to say the least.
That was, I think, okay, so this, so far this year, number one for me, mm-hmm. Lego movie, number two, Captain America Winter.
There's a cat dying
let
next
it go. let it go, lady. Oh, but, yeah, my second favorite movie is Captain America Winter
yeah.
Soldier. So, because, yeah, that was awesome.
I think it might be my second favorite Marvel movie.
Ooh. Which is the first being?
I have to stay loyal to X-Men. The first, maybe the second one. Okay. Yeah, the second one.
The I think is what do you think about Days of Future Past though?
Oh, well, upcoming. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, yeah, I know. upcoming. What are your expectations?
I'm guys? Really excited because one of my favorite X-Men is going to be in it, Bishop.
Okay.
I was a big fan of the cartoon. I didn't read the comics that much. But the cartoon that came out in the early 90s,
yes.
that was my favorite show. I watched it like 5 times. Every time they had a rerun on, I had to watch it. And okay. I think it's the longest running American kids animated TV show.
That's really? Long.
Yeah. Yeah. It lasted like... six
no
seasons.
Idea.
Did you ever watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, senior in high school. Like,
oh.
So, like, once I went to college, I had no TV in my
yeah.
room, dorm room, and I didn't watch anything, so.
But one of my favorite story arcs was when they go to the future and they meet Bishop. And I really liked the character design, and I liked that he was a mutant, but he doesn't have, like, a really obvious mutant power. And he uses guns and stuff like that, and he starts out as sort of an anti-hero bad guy. I think in the comics he was a bad guy. And then
He started out because it's the Days of Future Past story.
Yeah.
He came to basically prevent the massacre of the X-Men.
Yeah.
And basically the whole fall of the mutant race. And the thing was that there was supposed to be a traitor within the X-Men.
Yeah.
Who killed, I think, like, Professor X and, like,
right.
You know, basically killed a whole bunch of X-Men.
Yeah.
So he was trying to hunt that person down.
Yeah.
Was the thing. So
and
he
would do anything to
yeah.
to find that person. Because
he'd seen the consequences.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I like that kind of thing.
I read the comics during the 90s, the Age of Apocalypse run and the Onslaught, which are kind of, the Age of Apocalypse has kind of become a staple of, like, what was maybe the only good comic run in the 90s, of the time when everything was extreme with an X.
Extreme!
Yeah. And the Onslaught saga was kind of the begin of the sort of crossover, the crossover hell.
Yeah.
Where everything was involved and it ended up, like, not really going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just, it got kind of, you know, really, it kind of got full of itself.
Yeah.
Was a thing. But Bishop played kind of heavily in both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I really love those.
Yeah.
And actually, speaking of the cartoon, though, I had a friend in Japan, actually.
Yeah.
Like, getting back to Japan. We're talking about American cartoons on a Japanese podcast. But getting back to Japan, and I had a friend who was living in Japan when the cartoon was airing stateside.
Yeah.
And they were bringing it over to Japan at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was loving it. It was just like, it's just that they're so sporadic in like when they're airing. It's just like, that's the American season thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's very different for Japan.
I'm gonna try to rewatch that, I think, before Days of Future Past comes out, which is in a couple weeks.
Yes,
I think.
Yeah, I think it's the end of this month for Japan.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same time as stateside.
I think it's about the same time.
Okay.
We usually get
movies a lot later. I think we mentioned this last time. If not, we're mentioning it now. But Japan is really late in getting movies, except for when the movies have... Well, except with Sony movies.
Yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man 2, actually, we got it first.
And the Harry Potter movies came out about the same week. The Star Wars movies coming out, actually, technically, about 14 hours before the New York release.
Yes.
So, I'm gonna be putting out a lot of spoilers with it. Darth Maul came back, and Obi-Wan Kenobi came back, and Yoda came out as a woman.
Yeah. What?
And he's alive.
Okay. And true spoilers, you heard it here.
Yeah.
It's gonna be sick if that actually happens. But
it would be awesome if it's just like a complete Oliver Stone style, like, political drama. It's just like no action.
I have kind of lost faith in J.J. Abrams recently.
I can't remember where I heard this, but someone said he makes good movies, but he's never made a great movie.
Yeah.
So
I've heard that he's a good marketer.
Oh, yeah, as his box, his mystery box.
Yeah. That's become a thing now. And it's just, like, I don't think if ever his mystery box has actually contained anything of substance.
Yeah, I think that probably started when he made Cloverfield, because that was such a big mystery, and everyone was saying, it's Godzilla, or it's
Voltron.
Evangelions, or something like that.
Yeah.
Evangelions, I mean, angels, whatever, Evangelion. But, because the movie itself is pretty good.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's straightforward.
Yeah. And that's when I realized that Battlefield Earth was my favorite movie ever.
Okay, and we're back. For technical difficulties there. The mics died for a moment there, but we're back. What the hell were we talking about? We were talking about J.J. Abrams for some reason. And Cloverfield, but we digress. yes, this is a podcast supposedly about Japan.
Supposedly.
And so what else has been going on? Oh, that's it. Barack Obama actually visited.
Oh, yeah.
And that was kind of fun. Yeah, well, fun how did that... Well, it was fun for me because I was actually in Ginza the day he came to Ginza. He went...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he had dinner at that famous sushi place I've told you about before. Not sure if I've mentioned it to you. Yeah, Jiro's. Yeah. It's from the documentary... the documentary is based on it, yeah. But Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
Yeah.
It's the Jiro's in Ginza. And he went there with Abe, Shinzo Abe,
yeah.
And they had dinner there. And so traffic got fucked.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get through the station. It was just like places were blocked off. Mm-hmm. It was just like it took me like 20 minutes to get through the station.
Wow.
It was a pain in the ass. I had to like go around, backtrack, things like that. Because they were trying to like basically, you know, maintain some sort of semblance of civility while keeping people from bumping into the president. Pretty much. Keep people from running into him. So, I mean, I can understand why they did that, but it was a pain in the mm-hmm. ass. Another interesting side effect was the fact that you could no longer use public trash
bins. Yeah, and the vending machines as well. So
it stems back, I think there was an incident, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, a couple decades ago, I think, or maybe a decade or so ago. There was somebody basically put an explosive, like not an IED, but like something, a trash can blew up. Was the thing. A public trash can blew up, and there was just like, you know, these things aren't safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a while there, they were all gone.
Mm-hmm.
There were none. And then they've started coming back. You know, there are public trash cans in front of like convenience stores and stuff like that, but they aren't as, there aren't as many as there
were. And the trash can itself is pretty small.
The slot is very size specific, and she doesn't stop singing the same. She's singing the same song over and over again.
I don't know how clearly everyone can hear.
Yeah,
but she's got to be practicing for something. And people do this. Because the walls in apartments and houses are so thin, you can't sing in your own apartment.
You can't raise your voice.
Although I do.
Yep.
I scream a lot in my apartment
every time Supernatural comes on. And
I go Supernatural.
And so people use karaoke joints to practice music or practice singing.
And sometimes just to vent.
Yeah.
Just to...
It's stress relief. Just singing. It's like singing in the shower.
Yeah.
Except, you know, sometimes you have an audience of friends instead of an audience of strangers.
Yeah.
Or just by herself.
Yeah, she's got to be by herself. Because it's like and maybe one you think she's on a
practicing
Saturday.
Practicing for like... She's either practicing for some time, like for going out with friends to karaoke, or for a party.
Oh yeah, because people practice before going out with friends to do karaoke, or their boss or something like that.
Because they don't want
to
embarrass themselves.
Yeah. Unlike in the U.S., where karaoke is like, the sole purpose is to embarrass yourself. I mean, there are people who do it like, they go to bars and they hope to be discovered and stuff like that in the U.S., but, I mean, let's face it, we all hate that person.
Oh, yes.
Who, like, I'm gonna go on first and sing, and they're amazing, and you're like, fuck.
the person who always spoils everything for everybody else, because either they're so good that everyone else is just like, I don't want to go after that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they just totally misread the audience.
Yeah.
And just, like, everyone's just like, okay.
I had a friend who, she's probably not going to listen to this podcast, so I don't care. But we would
give her email, I'll make sure she does.
Anyway, we would go to karaoke.
She's not going to listen to this, you could say her name.
I won't. And she would always sing really sad Korean songs. Okay. And... everybody in the group they either spoke Japanese or English or Japanese and English. Nobody spoke Korean, so we didn't know what the song was about. And
it was just
like
very woeful.
Yeah, we would go from like singing Spice Girls or like dumb Morning Musume songs or something like that.
Yeah.
And then she'd put on like Winter Tears Upon My Blouse or something like that. And everyone would just sit there politely and let her finish. And she'd get all emotional. She was a pretty good singer, but like, then she would get kind of mad if you were, like, looking at the remote control to, like, put in the next song. Or if you were looking up songs, she'd kind of look at you like, why aren't you watching me sing?
Oh, glory, huh?
But it's like, you gotta read the room, people.
Yeah. It's a very difficult thing, actually. I mean, I've been at parties where the worst thing that can happen is when you're at a party where you have a group of people, but they don't all fit in one room, so you get two rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Invariably, you'll end up with one room where everybody's like really pumped, really
happy. Yeah.
It's like it's you know, and it's you know, loud, rowdy, having fun, and the other room is normal. It's deadpan. And it invariably happens. One room will be awesome, and everybody wants to be in that room, and the other room is just like, it's dead.
I once did. There's the social media site for Japan is called Mixi. When I was on that,
is that still
it still exists. I actually rejoined it because I was like, I want to be friends with Japanese people.
It was kind of like if that was around. Was that around before Facebook? I think so.
I don't know because I didn't speak Japanese. But
it was one of the earliest sites I've ever known that had,
and
that
it looks exactly the same. Almost exactly the same as it did in, like, 2003 or something.
Yeah, it was like it was the first site I ever encountered, which was invite only.
I think
it's public now, but it was kind of like Gmail. Gmail used to be like that.
Yeah,
like,
and LiveJournal.
It used to be invite only. You could only get an account. It was the first Japanese site I encountered that did that.
But like, it's pretty good for things like meetups. So like when I was on it, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
How many times did she sing that?
I think this is number 7.
Okay.
I think I'm going to sing it next and just blow her out of the water. No. But there was a all Visual K, or like all 90s Visual K karaoke thing with like 100 people. And there were different rooms for different bands. Visual K is just really quick. Lesson here. Visual K is a style of music. It's rock, usually, and people kind of focus on, like, crazy makeup and hair and stuff like that. It was really big in the 90s, so the bands were pretty famous, and the karaoke places have a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so each room had a different band. Some bands had multiple rooms, and I went by myself. And I was the only foreigner there, and everyone's like, do you speak Japanese? And I'm like, yes.
Why do you think I'm here?
Yeah. And they're like, can you sing in Japanese? And I'm like, honey, please.
Yeah. People who, you know, you don't actually, people who can't speak the language can still sing in it.
Yeah, Japanese is not a hard language to sing because it's all long vowel sounds. So it's kind of like Spanish or Latin or something like that. Yeah. So
every now and then you'll run into some artists who do creative stuff.
Oh, yeah,
it's like, have you ever...
got worse.
It's got worse now. Have you ever... have you heard... was it Mr. Children?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of their songs are unconventional in the way they sort of break up they break up the language.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. So, anyways. Yeah, that was a kind of... This episode's kind of been freeform.
Yeah.
Kind of just not... I don't think we're at a point where we can kind of handle a topic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this week the topic has kind of been movies and stuff. But
We haven't gone to Supernatural
yet. Yes, I believe this is the part of the podcast. Okay, we talked this over, and... rather than have people say, hey, we love your podcast, but we can't listen to it because you don't fucking stop talking about Supernatural.
Because people will say they love our podcast.
Yes, of course. Yeah. And but, you know, they can't listen to us because we don't fucking stop talking about Supernatural. So I brought up the idea that, hey, let's just save the final portion of this podcast to talk about Supernatural. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go into spoilers and all that, private rants. We're going to talk about, you know,
fangirling from me.
So if you want to cut off right about now, go ahead.
But don't, please don't.
Listening. If you're a Supernatural fan, stay on board.
Even if you don't know anything about Supernatural, maybe this will be a good way to introduce you to Supernatural.
Because we've got two people here who are so much in love with it, and we want to share the love.
Yep.
So you said you had something you kind of wanted to rant about the latest episode of Supernatural. Speaking of which, we are up to date. We managed through some questionable means to...
I can watch it telepathically.
Yes, to be up to date with the rest of the world, which is surprising. I'm just going to go off on a tangent now, but Japanese sites are actually surprisingly up to date. Like the translation of the Japanese version of Supernatural.
I heard season 8 is coming out soon.
Season 9 is already online.
Really?
Officially online. Oh, with subtitles.
I
I saw it like on Sony's video store.
Yeah.
Where you can basically video rentals, digital video rentals.
Oh, okay.
It had season 9. So I was like, okay.
It's oddly like got a cult following here.
Yeah.
Which I'm still not sure why.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. I was in a bar like last month or something, and I saw an old friend, and I went to go get a drink, and we're saying, hi, how are you, blah, 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 and her boyfriend goes, I heard you like Supernatural. And I was like, do you like it, too? And he's like, I love Supernatural. And then we just screamed about Supernatural and got more and more drunk and sang Carry On My Wayward Son in a bar that was not of that style. It was kind of a nice-ish bar, and people were kind of like,
who are these people?
Yeah, and I mean, this was just like...
out of the blue.
Yeah, right? Out of the blue, and like, yeah. So, it's just like random people like it.
So, the latest episode, what's the title?
Do you remember? King of the Damned.
Yes.
Which begs the question, who is the King of the Damned? Is it Crowley? Or is it...
Dean?
Dean.
Ooh. So, Ed, you said you had something of a rant?
Oh, it's kind of a random rant about how they portrayed demons. Mm. I'm a demons rights activist. Okay.
Demons used to be people. They have... Yeah. They have
demons. Demons was people, too. Yeah. They don't have souls. Well, they're corrupted souls.
Yeah.
Demons are corrupted souls. So, you know, a soul...
Which
is
frustrating. Okay, yeah. To go to hell... A lot of people when they go to hell, they sell their soul. Which means their soul isn't theirs. Yet they go to hell and they become a demon. Like, that's specifically what happened to Crowley.
Yeah.
He said he sold his soul for an extra, 2-3 inches?
Yeah.
And he went to hell. And he became a demon, and now he's the king of hell. But... what happened to his soul? Does that mean he doesn't have
one? No, the black smoke stuff is his soul.
Okay.
So like, souls
he becomes corrupted, basically.
Yeah. So, basically, you sell your soul to a crossroads demon. The crossroads demon is like the middleman who takes you to hell. And then you kind of go under the tutelage of a more powerful demon, like which is what happened to Dean when
he... the yellow-eyed demon?
The other guy. Yellow Eyes is Azazel, right?
Yes.
And the other guy, who's played by really good actor.
Oh,
I can't fucking remember his name.
Yeah, don't rock the table.
Sorry. I just like, when I talk about Supernatural.
Okay, this is stuff that happened 4 or 5 seasons ago.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, and all demons are basically doing the bidding of the king of hell, or in some cases, the queen of hell. So when demons are sent up to Earth, or whatever, the surface, I don't know, they're sent there to do the bidding of the King of Hell. And it's usually some convoluted plan stuff. But usually demons aren't rogue on their own. They have some ulterior motives. So, like, that's why Ruby, when Ruby first came on, or when Ruby was on, it was kind of like, she's a rogue demon, and she's working on her own accord. She misses being human, which turned out to be a lie. But, yeah, so, demons.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So.
Some of the ways they portray demons, like, they kind of portray them in the same way. Like, all demons have the same kind of sarcastic attitude. Like,
kinda comes from
Ruby, Crowley, Abaddon,
Azazel,
yeah. And it's like, I wish they had mixed it up a little bit with Abaddon and made her a little less, like, mincingly, like, smooth and sarcastic.
Yeah. I wish, yeah, I kind of, I don't know, I could never really latch on to Abaddon. I never really liked that character all that much.
Yeah.
She didn't seem like a knight.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, she didn't seem all that special.
Yeah.
Like, she was a demon with extra powers, but she didn't seem above the rest.
Yeah.
She seemed just like another one which had a little extra frills.
I wish they had made her more of, like, a cruel dictator sort of character, where they... And I think probably the reason why they didn't do this was because it would have been a little too violent and evil for TV, that, like, making her abuse and kill people in such violent ways without having a snappy one-liner would have made it a little too real, a little too Game of Thrones.
One thing I really... Because this is something they do with Crowley, which I like, but they didn't do with Abaddon, is the fact that... They show all the, like, the bad, like, if you cross Abaddon, you're fucked. You're
yeah.
You know, even a demon, like, a follower does the wrong thing, you're fucked. But if you do good, you're on her good side. But they didn't really show the benefits, the true benefits.
Yeah.
Like, I would have...
That's a good point.
I would have preferred, like, because with Crowley, you know, you follow him, he lays it all out.
Yeah.
Good, well, you know, what you're going to be getting, all the good stuff. With Abaddon, it's just like,
all
you know...
All the entrails you can eat.
Yeah, with Abaddon, it's just like, you know, just... You know, follow me, I'll be the king.
Yeah.
But...
Then what?
Yeah. It's like, what's the benefit? It's just like, she won't kill you is the only...
Yeah, maybe it was just out of fear. And I think they should have played up that fear a little bit more. Like, if she had, like, mindless minions or something like that. Because, I mean, in the end, I think technically, if all the demons had banded together, they could have killed her. Or figured out a way to kill her.
Yeah.
Or trapped her.
Yeah.
Because she was pretty easy to trap
in
season 8. They just shot her in the head with the devil's trap bullet.
Yeah.
And that was it. They could have left her in there for thousands of years. I think the other demons could have kind of figured that out.
Yeah.
But they should have had something like Loki's power wand that he had in the Avengers. Something that would mind control other demons or something that was super, super powerful that made the other demons
need more tools. The angels had a lot of fun tools.
Yeah. They got their angel blade.
Yeah. Well, not just the angel blade, but they had the stuff like the, what was it, Michael's horn or something like that, or like, you know, the bunch of...
Gabriel's
like,
horn,
Oh, Gabriel's horn. Sorry about that.
Because Gabriel's the musician. And
And, like, they had a bunch of, like, angel tools.
Yeah.
What was that? The Staff of Moses... That he was giving out pieces of it, and some kid was doing miracles with it.
I wish they had done more with that,
the
weapons. Treasure hunt.
Yeah, the treasure trove.
Yeah,
the weapons locker.
Yeah.
Talking about that just sort of blew it out of my head.
Yeah.
What was I gonna think? Oh well. Shit, it's gone.
And it's gone.
Oh, that's it. Kane. I really liked his character.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, that actor is so good.
Not just, like, the sort of reverence, but the fact, like, he played it off. He played it so well, like, that character.
Oh, yeah.
And I also loved it, how he dealt with Crowley. That was a lot of fun.
Too. Oh, yeah. I like that they made him... He is basically more powerful than any demon. He's maybe even more powerful than... angels.
Yeah, but he didn't... It didn't flaunt.
Yeah. He just wanted to be left alone.
Yeah.
And the actor played it with such quietness. It just made it so perfect. Yeah. It's coming. That was, I think, one of the best episodes of the whole series.
Yeah.
Firstborn, I think it's called. I watched it several times.
I just watched the scene where he silences Crowley just over and over again.
Yeah.
Because that was just, I just that couldn't stop awesome. Laughing at that.
Yeah, and like, in the end of the episode, Crowley kind of played it off like he wasn't really afraid. But he was afraid, because if...
There was definitely a risk.
Yeah,
because... He may have had, like, the whole thing plot laid out, mm-hmm. but there was definitely a risk there.
So the Mark of Cain... what's happening with that?
Yeah.
Dean and his constipation faces.
Yeah. Although, I think, is it my imagination or like Sam, he's looking, I don't know, he's looking a lot less stick up the butt than he used to. He seems a lot more rounded. Jared Padalecki. That might be my imagination. Like watching him in this latest episode, he seemed a lot more fun. So
I think maybe because he's starting to take over like a protective role, and usually he's the one being protected,
whether he wants it or not.
He usually doesn't want it. And true. Now he's taking on more responsibility because the thing is, like, the whole thing about the like Dean saying that. What was I supposed to do? Let you die? And Sam's like, yeah, you should have. And Dean said, well, you would have done the same for me. And Sam's saying, no, I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
But I think he's slowly beginning to realize that he's not going to let Dean die. So I think that's probably going to come with the finale, that Dean's going to be in a position where he's going to die. And Sam has the choice to let Dean live. Maybe let Dean live with the Mark of Cain as something damned and cursed, or let him die and maybe go to heaven. I think that's going to be the final choice at the end. And then there will be a beautiful Destiel kiss.
Yeah, speaking of the final, I was just like, this whole season, I've been on edge. I think the closer we get to the finale, the last episode was episode, I think it was 22 or 21, 21. And so that gives us what, like four?
There are two more episodes.
Okay, two. Oh, only two more?
Uh-huh.
If this season's 23, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, the closer we get, like we've been getting to the finale, the more worried I've been, like, just don't drop the ball on this one. Don't drop the ball. Because like, they've done it before, and I just like when... when they do it right, when they do the season finale right, it's so right. But when they drop the ball, it's...
Season 8 was so perfect at the end. Season 6...
Yeah. Season 7 was...
Well, Season 7 was good because, like,
purgatory.
And but I was like, oh, fuck, what's going to happen? And then I kept watching.
Yeah. But still, like, when they let... You know, I just hope they don't fuck this up.
Yeah.
Because they... Yeah. Like, because... what is Bloodlines?
Oh. So, episode 20 of this season was a quote-unquote backdoor pilot. Yeah. I think Castiel knows a little something about backdoor pilots. for a proposed TV series called Supernatural Bloodlines, which was originally called Supernatural Tribes, but they changed the name because I think it had sort of a, you know...
Kind of an ethnic...
Yeah.
Sort of, could kind of insinuated, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you watch the show, you already know this, but basically it was about vampires, werewolves, shapeshifters, and other supernatural baddies... basically running the city of Chicago. So the Winchesters sort of come in. There's a cop in training, or maybe a rookie cop or something like that, I don't remember, named Ennis, whose girlfriend, fiance, gets killed. Sam Winchester and Jessica all over again.
Yeah.
And that kind of motivates him to, what's going on here? And the Winchesters are like, you don't want to know what's going on, it's just pain, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, no, I have to know because they killed my girlfriend, which has never been done ever on any TV show or movie or book and or video game.
Interesting thing is, they didn't kill his girlfriend.
Yeah. Spoilers for a shitty...
Well, let's not spoil too much, but that was... Basically, what we're saying is that was one of the... I think it was the worst episode ever, do you think?
I think, Even the Chronicle homage.
Found footage episode.
That wasn't as bad as this one.
Yeah.
This one felt
very contrived.
Yeah.
I guess the word would be. The whole thing was forced. It broke a lot of its own established rules.
Oh, yeah. So, like, there's so much potential for a supernatural spinoff because earlier this season they had an episode with, I can't remember her name, the kid hunters.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a house of kid hunters.
Yeah.
How about that for, led by this teenage girl?
Yeah.
And it could be in Chicago and she's fighting the, like, mob and stuff like that. The monster mob. Which sounds like a Halloween party. The monster mob. Or how about Charlie? Something with Charlie. Or how about even that?
My favorite, the Jewish kid with the golem.
Yeah.
I mean, even that could have a spinoff, maybe a one season.
Why you have to point out that he's Jewish? I'm kidding. It's important.
The golem is based in Jewish. Okay.
He's my gay thing.
Yeah. That's my favorite episode. Yeah. That whole thing.
That is a good episode.
Yeah.
But there's so much potential for spinoffs with characters they've already introduced, and then they introduce this guy Ennis who is just perpetuating the stereotype of the angry black man. I'm sorry, but he's angry the whole time. He was even angry when he was on the date with his fiance because the maitre d' being a jerk to him.
Yeah.
So why should we like this character if he's constantly mad?
Yeah.
And then the shapeshifter, who... what's your big problem with the shapeshifter?
The shapeshifter... Okay, shapeshifters, they've established in the supernatural world, are basically... They're kind of like a next evolutionary step for humans. And one major ability they have is that they can shed their skin and become someone else.
Yep.
They regenerate flesh underneath and basically a new flesh underneath themselves. And they can basically take on another person's identity. And one of the sort of established things is that when they shapeshift, they leave behind this pile of goo, this pile of used up flesh. And this new sort of world they were establishing, this new sort of, this family of shifters, they could all shapeshift at will with no problem.
Yeah.
They could, there's no traces left.
Yeah.
And another thing that you pointed out is the fact that shapeshifters, they don't really have a personality of their own.
Yeah.
They tend to take on the personality of whoever they shapeshift into.
Yeah.
And all the characters, all the shapeshifter characters in this sort of pilot were all very established characters.
Yeah.
Which was kind of annoying.
And they stole a line from season 6, or they stole a bit of dialogue from season 6.
Which one was that?
Okay, you know when it's revealed that Cass betrayed the Winchesters, and they have him in the angel circle?
Yeah.
And Dean's like, why didn't you blah 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 come to me blah blah blah? And Cassiel goes, where were you when I needed to hear that?
Oh,
and Dean goes,
okay.
I was there. Where were you? They stole the
their own.
The I was there. Where were you? Part the shifter guy says that to his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend.
Oh god, yeah, now I remember.
And then the Winchesters came in. They're like, you stole my fucking line.
So that's why that show is not happening.
And the show does that a lot, where they kind of borrow lines, but it's very self-referential and kind of hey, remember when we said this?
Yeah.
But this was more because it was such a serious scene, and these were characters who were supposed to be getting to know on their own, and you're stealing, like, one of the most powerful lines from the whole series that, like, anyone who likes Dean, anyone who likes Cass is gonna freak out about. Like, I noticed that automatically, and I went to Tumblr and I cried. It's like, why?
So, Supernatural Bloodlines is canceled. Happening. Yes.
Yeah, so canceled before it even got picked up.
Woo.
The CW decided not to even... I don't know if they've even shot the pilot yet.
Mm.
But they're not picking it up. So, we're Thank safe.
Good.
But I believe they said they're open to another spinoff series. So maybe they're going to start again from step one.
And hopefully with a better idea this time.
How about this? They don't steal their own tropes.
Yep.
That's my biggest, you know, piece of advice.
Yeah.
And they don't make it stupid.
They don't make it bad. Yeah.
So
that was our Supernatural talk for this episode.
And one more thing.
Oh?
Misha Collins is coming back for season 10.
Castiel.
As a regular. Good. A regular.
Regular.
Unlike
for season 10.
Season 10.
Okay, so he's not going to die this season.
Well, we don't know yet.
Or something else is going to happen.
I think I have a sinking suspicion Castiel's going to die.
We can talk about
but
this.
But he's already died like
we
five
can,
times.
We can talk about this when the season finale airs in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So.
Alrighty.
I'm
so
looking forward to it.
Something to look forward to. So this has been the Wayward Podcast on oneofus.net. You
yep.
can find us on facebook.com, oneofus.net. This is the Japanese-centric podcast where we talk about Supernatural.
Yep.
And, yes, every episode we go out with a song, a Japanese song, and
mm-hmm.
this week it's my turn to pick. We're kind of stealing this whole idea from the original gentleman, but this week I've picked the song Clock Strikes by 1OK Rock. It's actually the 1OK Rock is a fairly famous
band. Yeah, they're pretty big.
I mean, a lot of people know them at stateside.
Mm-hmm.
Know of them, but this song is the theme song to one of the latest Yakuza video game, Yakuza Ishin, which was a launch title for the PlayStation 4. And
mm-hmm.
I played it, and I loved the hell out of it. And so I thought, you know, I really loved the theme song, so that's the song we're going out with this
Clock
week.
Clock strikes one. Okay. Clock! Sorry.
You had to make that pound. Okay. So this has been the Wayward Podcast. I'm Toshi.
And I'm Sarah.
And we'll see you next time.
What's breaking through? Nothing for good.